And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, man. We are covering all of North Alabama, making it cool to be a conservative. I'm just saying. But this is a great show. We got a bunch of stuff laid on for today. If you ever wondered, okay, what this nuclear football they carry for the president, what is that? Well, we got a guy coming on at 3 o'clock. You're going to want to hear this interview. Most of the 3 o'clock hour is going to be Lieutenant Colonel Buzz Patterson, a staunch conservative public speaker, New York Times best-selling author, and a retired military officer who literally wrote a book called Dereliction of Duty about his 2 years serving the Clinton administration as the right-hand man to President Clinton as a military aide. He carried the football. And, man, he's got some stories. He said, here's this for you. He said he literally went into that job sort of politically agnostic. He came out as an avowed conservative because basically he saw for 2 years everything he would like to believe would not happen in a White House. And that's going to be at 3 o'clock. You're going to want to hear that interview. This whole first section of the Triple Dipper I'm going to do right now, though, is on the illusion of affordable green energy. And I will say right up front, like, for instance, in case, what was the guy they called yesterday? Cliff, I think his name was. If Cliff's listening, Cliff, if you're listening, I do believe solar panels work. I understand. I do believe that a big old fan can turn and generate electricity. I get it. But the reality is this. That entire sector of the energy industry right now that is now being required to be a part of the energy producers' portfolios, like Southern Company and TVA and all of them, they're required to have renewables in their portfolio. But nonetheless, it is not currently sustainable in and of itself. For instance, if somebody came along and said, yeah, we're going to open a grocery store. Oh, are you? Yes, we are. And we're going to have produce. We're going to have a meat market. We're going to have, you know, dry goods and frozen goods. That's wonderful. Well, I didn't realize you could do that right now. Well, the government's paying for it. Excuse me? The government's paying for it. Well, wait a minute. Why is the government paying for it? We got Publix and Winn-Dixie and all these other ones right down the road. I mean, they put their private sector dollars into it, and they have corporate shareholders. And how do you get the ability to just have the taxpayers pay for it? I don't know. Congress said so. And so they're just going to use the government money and build a new grocery store. That's what's happening right now in the energy sector. What's happening right now is that literally billions and billions of taxpayer dollars are being used to underwrite and prop up an industry that cannot sustain itself because they haven't built the better mousetrap yet. They've got workable solutions. They've got things that actually generate electricity. I'm not saying they don't. What I'm saying is they are not affordable. They are not cost effective. They are not able to be, you know, on par with other energy producing portions of the, and literally, why would they have to? The government's paying for it. Why do you have to build a better mousetrap when the government just pays for it? There is no incentive to try and beat the other mousetrap builders when the government's paying for your mousetrap. And then, you know, heck of a thing, all the private sector that's been producing the other mousetraps, or in this case, the other energy sector portions, or other portions of the energy sector, they've been putting private dollars in many ways into that sector. They've been running the risk. They've been having to answer to their shareholders and their board of directors. They've been having to make sure that they scarf up the right oil and gas leases and that they have the right technology to drill, and they constantly research on their own to improve their capacity so they can reduce their overhead so they can have a better profit margin. The wind energy companies, the solar companies, not so much. Now, I'm not saying they don't have boards of directors. I'm not saying they're not profitable. They're probably turning a huge profit right now. In fact, I got a story that I'll read you here in a moment. They're probably making a huge profit right now. You know why? Because the government's pouring money into them. That's why. I got some stories here that literally will take everything I just said and probably say it better. But the fact of the matter is, the illusion of affordable green energy is an illusion. Green energy exists. Affordable green energy does not. It's like, basically, don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. Well, you better look behind the curtain, because you may find out the whole thing's not real. I'm just saying. So we're going to break it down here in a few minutes. Number one of the Triple Dipper, the illusion of affordable green energy. And this has got to improve. The government's got to get out of the way. The government's got to quit picking winners and losers. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We got plenty more. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I mean, I'm talking, we are south of Birmingham to north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. That, I'm liking it. And 3 hours, all 3 hours are on over the entire gamut of the Right Side Radio listening audience. We got Right Side Ruffians doing three-hour listening sessions everywhere you talk about. All right, that's all good, and we appreciate it, and we're honored. Hey, listen, I gotta do this before I go too much further. I gotta do a promotional because I know what the rest of the show is gonna be like. I don't want to miss this. This is important. I'm sure that like many of you, like me, have seen all the commercials about the water contamination at Camp Lejeune Marine Base in North Carolina. So if you were ever stationed at Lejeune, if you ever trained there, if you ever were there on TDY for that matter, I wanted to check out what this is about. And so I called these attorney friends of mine at the firm of Riley and Jackson down in Birmingham. And I know these folks personally. I've worked with them before. We've actually worked on cases before together. And I learned that there's at least 19 different illnesses, serious illnesses, that have been linked to the contaminated water at Camp Lejeune. So after meeting with the folks at Riley and Jackson, I can tell you, I am convinced that if you or any family member were at Lejeune, like I said, training, TDY, or duty station, from 1953 to 1987, that's a long span of time, man. You should talk to my friends at Riley and Jackson. Like I said, I've known them for a long time. They're not going to charge you anything for the call. You're only going to pay them if they get a recovery for you. So here's the deal. I'm about to give you the phone number. You ready? Riley and Jackson. They're based in Birmingham, but they cover work all over the state. Their number, 205-879-5000. That's 205-879-5000. Do me a favor, too. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, listen. I am in number one of the Triple Dipper. But coming up at the top of the hour, you're going to want to stay tuned because we're going to be interviewing Lieutenant Colonel Buzz Patterson. He actually carried the nuclear football for Bill Clinton. He's got some amazing insider stories to tell. But he also, by the way, has a real heart for this country. And he says he's seeing some of the same things he saw in that White House then that discouraged him. He's seeing it now. And I agree. But we both have hope for our country. So anyway, Buzz Patterson, top of the hour. Right now, let me just tell you, there's a story somebody sent me this morning on Twitter. And it just so happened I had prepared the Triple Dipper for the day. Number one here, I'm calling this section, The Illusion of Affordable Green Energy. Okay, so not knowing that I was going to do this, somebody actually sent me a story that's so tied in. Like, for instance, I've got one story in my hand. I'll do that first. Here we are, Gavin Newsom. Just bold and leading the way, man. California. Going to zero emissions by the year 2035. In fact, it's not just that it happens wham all at one time. It phases in. Like within the next 3 years, by the year 2025, he wants to have one-third of all vehicle sales in California zero emissions, which means they're electric vehicles. So California grid operators, according to the Washington Examiner, dated yesterday. California power grid operators warned residents to prepare for voluntary energy cuts. I'm not sure how you prepare for a voluntary energy cut. Like, we're cutting back the grid, rolling blackouts. I'm not volunteering for that. Anyway, but they want individuals, though, to do things like turn down their air conditioning and, here it is, they're literally saying it, forego electric vehicle charging as the state braces for a period of excessive heat expected to last through next Tuesday. The California Independent System Operator said in a statement that it is taking measures to bring all available resources online ahead of the heat wave, which is expected to be the longest, most severe heat, high heat period in the state so far. They're asking residents to set their thermostats at 78, avoid large appliance uses, and EV charging. Well, then on top of that, I get this story from someone who sent it to me on social media. It's a localized story. It's off of ABC affiliate Denver 7 in Colorado. So it's a local affiliate for ABC. Thousands of Xcel customers, and Xcel is apparently a power grid company. It may just be, it may be a like a local power co-op, I'm not sure, but Xcel is the name of it. Thousands of Xcel customers locked out of their thermostats during energy emergency. What? I'm like, this is, what is happening? So yeah, it says right here, here's a story. It's a very short story. It says, during the dog days of summer, it's important to keep your home cool. But when thousands of Xcel customers in Colorado tried adjusting their thermostats on Tuesday, they learned they had no control over their temperatures in their own homes. Temperatures climbed to the 90s on Tuesday. One guy tried to set his down, you know, to cool the house down. And he says, I mean, it was 90 outside, he says. It was right during the peak period. And a message came up on his thermostat that said it was locked due to an energy emergency. So you can get locked out of your own thermostat. Well, apparently these people, all not knowing any better, signed up for a plan, allegedly voluntarily, where they got a $100 energy credit if they would install a smart thermometer and be open to the idea of having, you know, controlled voluntary methods. They didn't know. We're talking like 22,000 people didn't know that meant that Xcel could literally lock them out of their own thermostat and they couldn't turn the temperature down. Wow. I'm shaking his head. No,
thank you.
No. I'm sorry. I pay my power bill. Fix your power grid, people.
Man.
But I had this happen once. So there was a period of time when the Army Reserve was going to centralize control of thermostats to save money. Well, it's a federal building, all right? So the reserve center I was in, where was that one? That one was in Tennessee. That was in Knoxville, Tennessee. Was controlled by somebody with a thermostat control in Atlanta, Georgia. So it didn't matter what Atlanta felt like. Didn't matter what Knoxville felt like. It was whatever the dude in Atlanta felt like doing to the thermostats what mattered.
Wow.
You'd have to call him, hope you could get him on the phone and say, listen, man, it's 84 degrees in my office. Well, it's very temperate here. Well, it's not here, you know. But the other thing, but, you know, Knoxville's up in the mountains. It's getting closer to, you know, to the Smokies. It gets a lot colder there than it does in Atlanta. So you'd have a temperature. You'd be down. You'd be like 48 degrees in your office having to wear a jacket. They're in Atlanta. They're like, what's the big deal?
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, I love it when the government believes it's a good idea to centralize things. All right, so story here off the Sacramento Bee. Sacramento Bee, dated August 26. California has just set historic electric car rules. Is the state's power grid up to the task? The conclusion is no, it is not. I'll give you that up front. Spoiler alert, it is not. California has made its historic decision to outlaw the sale of new cars that run on gas or diesel after 2035, but putting millions of green energy vehicles on the road poses challenges and concerns that some experts say could complicate the state's decision. Well, they're trying to softball this thing. Hey, this could complicate things. Here's how it could complicate it. In written comments to the California Air Resources Board, which approved the sweeping new vehicle regulations on Thursday, the Western State Petroleum Association said electrification of the transportation sector will increase demand by around 300,000 gigawatt hours statewide, which will amount to doubling the electricity demands. In other words, the grid has to go to double capacity to be able to sustain that many charging vehicles. Now, to answer Cliff's point yesterday on the phone, and by the way, I'm not just picking on Cliff, but he's the one who was taking issue with the idea that I don't, you know, believe that all of this is going to work. It's not going to work under current standards. And it's not going to work if government keeps propping it up. And it's not going to work, by the way, it's not, if they don't start recognizing that just because the vehicle is electric doesn't make everything clean, because you got to burn coal, you got to burn natural gas, you got to mine things to build the batteries. I mean, literally, where do they think the cobalt, the nickel, the steel, all of it comes from? Where do you think it, when you're so excited, when Pete Buttigieg says he's so excited because you're going to have an electric vehicle and you won't have to worry about the price of gas anymore. Well, Pete Buttigieg, where do we plug this thing in? Where's the power come from for the charging station? By the way, how much does the charging station cost? And oh, by the way, are we going to see standardization of the plugins? You know what I hate right now? Charlene uses an iPhone and I use an Android. Both of us have different plugins. Did you bring your cord, honey? Yeah, but it didn't work on your phone. Oh, rats. You know, that happens all the time. So what happens if you're traveling and your cable breaks? Can you go to your neighbor's house and charge? I don't know. But there's a whole lot of things that have not been done yet. But let me just tell you, as I monologue this sucker, let me just tell you, right now, it is absolutely clear that this industry cannot sustain itself. It is making money because it's taking our tax dollars. Here's a story from Reuters. Reuters dated August 10th. This is just prior to the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act. Reuters, U.S. renewables investors see Senate bill sparking a gold rush. You think? For the first time, it says investors seeking to pour cash into U.S. clean energy projects can count on at least a decade of generous federal subsidies, offering them long-sought confidence in the staying power of the world's third biggest renewables market. Tax credits for wind and solar projects have underpinned explosive growth. Key word there, underpinned. In other words, it's what's holding it up. Tax credits for wind and solar projects have underpinned explosive growth in U.S. installations. If an energy sector, if any sector, if an industrial sector, if any business sector is seeing explosive growth, but it's only underpinned by federal subsidies, then it's really not seeing real growth. It's seeing imaginary growth. It's an illusion. Can it sustain itself if they build that better mousetrap with private sector investment and they go through all the research and the marketing and do all the things it takes? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But if the government's paying for it, why do all that? The long-term tax credit commitments for wind and solar, wrapped up in the $430 billion bill passed by the U.S. Senate, were joined by new credits for energy storage, biogas, and hydrogen. Developers of wind and solar projects will also be able to get more support if they use U.S.-made equipment or build their projects in poorer areas. By the way, if I'm not mistaken, a lot of that U.S.-made equipment has to come by law now from a union plant. Keith Martin, an attorney with Norton Rose and Fulbright, who works on financing of renewable energy projects, says this is going to be a golden period of 10 years at least. Yeah, you think? Shares of renewable energy companies have soared since Senate Democrats announced a deal to pass the bill. And it talks about the various indexes that are increasing. Wind and solar only accounts for 12% of U.S. electricity generation last year. But decarbonizing the nation's electricity sector by 2035, as Biden has planned to do, will require far more. So basically, the private sector is just going to have to sit by and watch the government run it. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We will do that right now. We'll come back and spend a little more time on this, the illusion of affordable green energy. And then coming up top of the hour, oh, you're going to want to hear that interview. Buzz Patterson, retired lieutenant colonel who carried the nuclear football for President Clinton for 2 years. He's got some great stories. Y'all stay tuned. What a great day. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, listen, we're talking about the fact that, number one, in my triple dipper, the illusion of affordable green energy. So to caveat my statements just a little bit again, for those of you that get upset when you don't think I'm, I'm out there. You don't think these things really work? Nah, sure they do. You can have a windmill that turns and makes energy. I know that. How do you think that Farmer Brown had his windmill on his farm for 150 years before you built the giant turbines? I get it. But here's the deal. The way the energy sector is built right now, the vast majority of energy, In some studies, it appears that it's only like 12% is wind and solar. 12%. And if you think you're going to replace, what is that? So 88% of the grid production capacity is going to be replaced in the next 10 years? You are kidding yourself. Do you know what it takes right now to build a power plant? Just the regulatory burdens alone are unreal. And that's with Republicans in charge, much less when Democrats are in charge. But the reality is this. It is currently unsustainable if you take away the federal subsidies. The only thing keeping the Green New Deal in place is the Green New Steel, that I call it, which is where they take tax dollars and they pick the winners and losers. They go and they say, hey, yeah, oil and gas, we know you've been putting a ton of your private sector money and your investor shares into doing this and research and everything else, but we like wind and solar, so we're putting all the money over here. And they take government tax dollars and they use it to re-educate people. They use it to build that sector. They use it to subsidize. They use it for massive levels of tax credits that exceed the market's capabilities. So all said and done, you got to look at this and go, how sustainable would it be? Well, at the same time, kind of interesting when you look at some of the things that are involved, like this story from or a piece written on Heartland Institute, dated August 31st. That would be yesterday. Most U.S. green energy subsidies go to communist China. Really? One of the very many inflation-increasing aspects of the woefully misnamed Inflation Reduction Act is the approximately $100 billion thrown at allegedly green energy. Says, let us set aside the fact that the government spending $100 billion on anything is antithetical to reducing inflation. Let us also set aside the fact the entirety of the green energy industry isn't actually an industry. It's a giant welfare state. This is so good. Green energy only exists because of hundreds of billions of dollars of government dollars having thus far propped it up. And the moment the ongoing massive government cash infusions end, the entire house of cards comes crashing down. My gosh. Did that sound a lot like what I've been saying for the last half hour? Yes, it did. Heartland Institute. It goes on to say, too, like, for instance, the solar panel industry, almost all of the foreign portions of the fake domestic solar industry happen in communist China. China's slave labor, coal-fired, mass-subsidized solar panels dominate the planet, a scam that Donald Trump exposed with some wise and wisely applied tariffs, but President Donald Trump, who imposed 30% tariffs, has now had those wiped away by President Biden. The U.S. green energy industry is propped up, it says, by massive U.S. government subsidies and massive communist China government subsidies. For instance, with government support, it helped Chinese companies elbow out the competition. See, that's what happens. It's not a free market. If China can heavily underwrite the manufacture of some aspect of this green energy sector, flood the market, they therefore control pricing at that point. They are the market leader. Why are they the market leader? Because they put government dollars into it. So it's basically an illusion of a free market. It's not. With regards to China, they subsidize industries. They highly motivate them to create overcapacity, which then creates pricing power. They export that product to international markets with predatory pricing behavior, and they squash all the competition. And then China mass subsidizes the panels. They flood the global markets with them. Their anti-competitive prices have them dominating the whole planet, including here in the U.S. And then you have the subsidies and the tax credits. So who gets the benefit? China. And then you have the batteries. Where do the batteries come from? Well, they have to be built with something, right? Yeah, they are. With cobalt, with nickel, with rare earth minerals, with steel, with things that have to be mined from the ground. Where's the vast majority of that come from? China. Just be aware, what we're looking at here is as China, a communist nation, subsidizes an entire sector of the industry and then floods the market with the results, and then also, by the way, capitalizes and monopolizes certain aspects of things that we need to try and get away from China. We can't get away from China because they have all the parts. And then we have Biden comes in, and he's so excited with the Inflation Reduction Act, and he spends hundreds of billions of dollars throwing tax dollars at it. Go build more. And China says, yes, we will. In the meantime, the private sector is a joke when it comes to this. It's the goose that laid the golden egg for them. Free money, y'all. You heard my thing a minute ago, investors saying the next 10 years are going to be awesome for the solar energy companies. Money is flowing like nobody's business. In 10 years, if that all stops, where do they go? I'm betting they go away, the vast majority of them, because they couldn't make it without government subsidies. It's an illusion. All right, coming up next, we got an amazing interview. You're going to want to hear it. It's myself and Lieutenant Colonel Buzz Patterson, the author of Dereliction of Duty. He carried the nuclear football for Bill Clinton. And my gosh, he's got some stories to tell. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.